All right, it's a little gray outside, but we can get through this. This is going to be okay. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. Feel free to call us at any point during today's program at 312-981-7200. You can also text us there. Hello, Wendy.
Good morning. We shall bring the sunshine into people's lives today.
Boy,
how's
that?
Is that
the right way to look at it? I'm so pleased that you said it that way. Let's make that our goal.
All right. So I'll start with a complaint.
Why not? We're 25 seconds in.
It's not even a complaint. I just want to tell you I did a complete turnaround on the way in. I was following a bus getting onto Lower Wacker Drive, and I noticed the little sign on the back that changes to give the location where it's going, and that this said training in progress. So this is a new driver.
Yeah.
And this particular driver going from Congress Parkway down to Lower Wacker Drive was taking two lanes. Mm. And I thought, you know, it looks like a tight squeeze even in a car. I can only imagine what a bus is. So I was super annoyed because I am always in a hurry to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then at some point I thought, you know how hard it is to be a CTA bus driver in this city, especially that double bus with the accordion?
Yeah.
How do they do it?
I don't know.
And then all of a sudden I turned around and in my thinking and thought, you know what? I'm going to give this guy some space. I blew past him, so I don't care what lane he took
But very kind of you. Are you normally, when you see a car that has some designation on it as if to say new driver, because a lot of people are very, I don't think we did it with either of our girls when they were driving, but you see a lot of people do this as they're teenagers learning to drive. There's something on the car that lets you know, give them a little extra room.
Right.
But I've never seen a bus with it.
Oh, I have. And a lot of times you see like semi-trucks where it will be, you know, a truck driving school. And you can tell because of the wide turn he makes is really wide.
So are those signs for the kids driving? Is that to give them more space? Or I thought you were supposed to challenge them.
Oh no, Steve, not at all. That's just the opposite of what you're supposed to do.
I thought you were supposed to help in the training.
No.
Like, you know.
But I was annoyed at first, and then I felt really bad because that's got to be a really tough job, first of all, to drive a bus in the city.
Oh, yeah.
Second of all, to train.
Yeah. Because
there are idiots like me behind. I didn't honk.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, I did the old fly past them looking over like, pfft. And then when
you'll
I
never
got,
make it in this business.
And then when I got past, I'm like, that was mean. He's learning, or she is learning how to drive this bus.
Yeah.
I don't know how they maneuver Lower Wacker, again, with that accordion bus.
Right.
How do they do that?
The only part I would really enjoy, and I'm sure you see this when a bus gets to a bus stop, and they make the bus go up a little bit or down a little bit. Do you ever see that? The body of the bus.
Oh, to accommodate the wheelchairs.
I assume, well, is it just wheelchairs, or is it, I don't know that it's just wheelchairs.
Maybe bikes and stuff, too.
Yeah,
but
a little bit of everything.
We
yeah.
saw that when we were at Disney World, because the shuttle bus, there was someone attending the ride with us who was in a wheelchair, and it's kind of cool how it happens. The bus just, like, shrinks down on its shocks, and then they can put the ramp out, and the wheelchair goes in. It was really a cool contraption.
Always fun to watch a bus get larger or smaller. There's something magical about that. Are you finding lately that cars that are the worst on the roadways always have an either Uber or Lyft sticker somewhere on the vehicle?
Yeah, and I'm noticing that their cars like have a broken taillight.
Yes.
If I'm getting in an Uber or a Lyft,
yes.
the first thing I'm going to look at is the appearance of your car.
Yes.
And if I see like a big dent,
yes.
I'm going to say, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm staying home today.
I don't know what's happened, but over the last couple of months, nearly every time I see a car driving erratically, and by erratically, it can mean a million things. Normally, it's using more than one lane at a time. They'll be bleeding over into the next lane or taking turns they shouldn't turn or moving in and out. I always go, oh, that can't be another Uber or Lyft driver. Oh, it is. It almost always
is. The reason you're seeing it more frequently, though, Bill, is because there are more and more people doing it.
I know.
And now I'll bet you, and I could be wrong, but somebody should do an investigative report on this.
Mm-hmm.
When the kids go back to school, I will bet you there are parents that will Uber or Lyft while their kids are at school to make some extra money.
Oh, that's not a bad move. That's not a bad move
I might
move
be
at
doing
all.
It.
Are you
going
to earn a little extra cash?
On the way to and from work.
Good for you. Only for people who, like yourself, are always in a hurry.
Yeah.
There'll be a special designation on the car. You better be in a hurry. If you're getting in this car, you better be in a hurry. I don't blame you.
You had mentioned how the bus shrinks and then gets bigger.
Yeah.
Frank, you know about this?
Yeah, the larger buses they have a feature to accommodate either the elderly or sometimes people with wheelchairs, is that it's called the kneeling option or the kneeling procedure, where the bus, you'll hear that depletion of the air because the air suspension is exhausting the air supply in the suspension, and the bus will kneel down to help people at the stop, and then once the doors close, flips the toggle switch, and the bus goes back to its right original height.
It's pretty genius. Cool.
It's the best. I want a house that does that.
Why?
When we have people over, the house will get bigger. When it's just the four of us, the house gets smaller. People would love that.
It's just taller.
Wendy, what you were saying about the buses on Lower Wacker,
yeah.
Do they allow the accordion-style buses, or is it just the regular buses?
I saw an accordion today.
Yeah, that's tough. We have to share the road. There's nobody's name that is actually on each individual road. It's the road that we have to share. And as our roads become more and more congested and more our population increases, we just have to share the road, because otherwise our travel is just going to get more and more chaos every day. I mean, look at the Kennedy. It's just a pure example of what's going on with our traffic situations. But we have to be able to share the road together.
Well said, Frank.
What a kind man Frank is.
Kindest caller of the day. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
The accordion buses are only for people in polka bands. Did you know that? Myron Florin drives that. All right, let's do
Vlasta.
This.
Vlasta.
Yeah, Vlasta. I forgot about Vlasta. All right, here's the game plan, everybody. We'll go away for a very short amount of time, and then when we come back, Julie Unruh from the WGN TV News, who did a report last week that made both Steve Bertrand and I dizzy. We'll explain more in just a little bit.
Send me to work in tall buildings.
You're scared of tall buildings.
You know, I'm not. Yeah, I guess I am. I was going to try to defend myself, but I can't defend myself. It's very, very disconcerting sometimes to look up at the skyline. And you'll see somebody up there maybe washing a window or something. And you just say to yourself, no, not for all the money in the world could I get up there. But Julie Unruh, general assignment reporter over there at WGN Television News, did a report the other night that just scared the daylights out of me. And she's here to talk about it. Julie, are you okay? Is everything all right?
I have all of my limbs, but my husband's wondering if I'm actually sane. Yes, it's all good. I'm back on the ground.
I'll go on one.
At first, Julie, I got to tell you, we were talking about it because Bill was sitting in his living room holding onto the couch. He was so nervous. And he goes, I wonder if they made her do that. They can't force you to do an assignment, can they?
Yes, they can force me to do anything. Yes. Oh, sure they can. But you guys, this was all my idea. I have to tell you, it all sparked. This idea was born because a friend of mine in Washington, D.C. is in the concrete business, and he's running a really big, fantastic operation out there, and the Washington Post, poor photographer, some guy with a GoPro on his helmet, climbed up some stairs, and he was terrified, and I said, I can do this. Oh. I can do this. And it wasn't more like me meeting a challenge. It was more about, I bet people down on the ground either A, don't give it a second thought about what's going on up above them, or B, are like, wow, what really does go on up there? How does that whole beehive of activity really operate?
I'm so glad it worked out. I didn't even sleep on my second floor this weekend.
Steve and I both, Julie, we both saw the report and we had the exact same reaction, and that is, oh.
I immediately sat down on the floor.
I do, but doesn't it also make you think, okay, I've got a million more questions than answers, right? I mean, as I went up there, I had so many, like, I wanted to know the men to women ratio. Like, logistically, I mean, help me out here, Wendy. I'm really like, where does a person use a restroom up here? And it wasn't even just the crane operator way up high above everybody else. Like, there's a whole level. Right now, when I was up there exactly a week ago today, on the most beautiful Chicago day there is, we couldn't have ordered it or you know, orchestrated this if we tried. It was 75 degrees. Wind gusts were maybe 10 to 15, if even that. But when you go up high, it's much windier. They've got windscreens up there. There are 100, 200 people working at a time. They're all working in concert with one another, but kind of in solitude in a lot of ways. And all I can think about is, oh my gosh, what happens if I have to go to the bathroom? I mean, you're helpless, right?
Yeah. You were at the Vista Tower, which is just a little bit east of us, just I think three buildings to the east of us, 71 stories high, if I'm not mistaken. I want to say you were up on the 71st floor, or what will be the 71st floor. The bathroom situation that you're referring to, they showed two buckets, two jugs, right? So is that an emergency bathroom situation, or is that just standard, Rob has to go to the bathroom, here's the jug?
Pal, that's SOP, standard operating procedure. Oh. It is two old vinegar bottles or whatever they can find, and that is their relief. And I'm telling you, it's people's first question, as we said in our story. Everybody wants to know, including myself, they have air conditioning, they have heating, they keep snacks nearby. They said you cannot operate without your Advil. They have water, but I know when you've got water, you're going to have to use a restroom. And as silly and as just crude as it sounds, everybody wants to know, and that's their answer.
When we worked at the Hancock Building on really windy days, you could hear the building creak. We had speakers suspended from the ceiling on little chains, and you could see them move. And in the bathrooms, you could see the toilet water kind of moving. And that's being inside the building. I can't even imagine what you felt going up on that thing.
Well, I have to tell you, when you climb up, and we did it in a couple different layers. I should just give you the way we did it was we started on the ground level and took an elevator, a freight elevator, and you're exposed, right? You can feel the air sailing through the grates of the elevator up to 59. That was okay. You know, you visually, you're talking to the person across from you. You're not thinking about it. And I want you to know, you guys know, it's all a mind game, right? You just have to sort of get over it. So I was talking, and we were all distracted with the job at hand. And my guy, Vince Tagle, who's the photographer from WGN, who did all the heavy lifting here, truly, was doing like a three-camera shoot. I mean, he was bringing up his big studio camera. He had a GoPro on his head and put it on my chest at one point. And he had his little DSLR, I think that's what it is. I don't even know what that is. But he's got all sorts of cameras. And we're going up and just chatting. We get up to 59, and then we have to do a climb on what feel like attic stairs, if that means anything to anybody at home. You've just got wooden attic stairs that are sort of, you know, basic, but you do the climb and you don't think about it because you're more on the interior of the building where the concrete floors are laid and there are no real walls up yet. You know, if I wanted to throw an apple core off the side, I suppose I could have, but I didn't. And then you climb up to 65, and that's when you get up to 65 that I was like, oh my gosh, this is how it's done. I mean, for anybody that thinks it's all about cranes and bobcats and big machines, it is human physical labor that is assembling the most magnificent skyscrapers of our skyline. And it really was just a wonderful eye-opener for me that it really does take still the work of two hands to get a great job done. And that was fantastic. I called it the beach. I said, oh my gosh, I feel like you just unloaded me on a beach because they've got the windscreens up. The sun was shining, but there was no wind. It was cutting the wind, and it was just everyone working. So yes, you understand how, you know, the construction folks of our fair city have the most incredible farmer's tan there is.
But Julie, at the beach, then, if you accidentally go a few feet to your left or your right, you won't plummet 71 stories. That's the biggest difference, I think.
I think that's true. And then, but then they kind of said, okay, you guys ready to make the climb? And I turned to Vince and I said, have we got everything we need from here? We did a couple of interviews. And then, you know, it was like, okay, yeah, we're ready to go. They said, okay, one thing, we have to climb back down to 54 from 65. And then we take more of those attic-like stairs up. But you're climbing straight up. I mean, none of it's on an incline. So first of all, I'd like to say that I was doing just fine. My lungs were certainly, you know, tasked at certain points, but I was like, wait a second. When we got higher up, I was like, wow, this is really hard work. Like, I didn't realize that I was going to be pulling up my body weight all the way up. So once we got to, let me get it right, 65 again. So we were 54 up to 65. Then you go in these metal ladders that really take you straight up to the crane. And you know what? It was just mind over matter. I just had a piece of gum in my mouth to distract me. I think the teachers let my kids chew gum in school these days to keep them focused. So I thought that was a great idea.
Wow. That is. And did you find coming down was harder? Because going up a ladder to me is not much of a problem. But coming down, it's like you have to think.
Oh, Wendy, dear Wendy, you should have done the climb with me.
No.
It was it was going up that was harder. And
oh, really?
Going down, you just, I don't even remember it. Honestly, I guess I'm blessed with a good forgetter, but I have no recollection of going down.
Julie,
it was all about going up.
Can I ask you, one of the crane operators you worked with said that his father did the same thing, and when he was a boy, I think he was 8 or 9 years old, his father took him up to the top of a building. How do you think that went over at home with his mom when he was a kid? You think that was okay?
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. I don't know, though, if it's, you know, if putting together buildings is in your blood and in your family, and who knows, for generations, maybe it's all good and fine. But they said a lot of people get so far up in the climb, and a lot of people bail. So, you know, to send an 8-year-old up, maybe they don't know what they really should be afraid of. It's that whole fearless mentality, right?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I'm just stupid, I guess. It was super fun,
brave.
You guys. And it was a thrill once you're up there.
Yeah.
Would you do it again?
Yes.
You would?
I think I would. No one's asked me that. I think I would, but I don't need to. That's the beauty of this. Check the box. I'm done.
Yeah. What are you working on now? Julie Unruh,
you know,
on the line with us.
Oh, that's so funny that you ask, because WGN lets us do a lot of different things, right? And so last week I was climbing skyscrapers, and tonight we're going to air a story about a cat convention, Chicago's very first. So I'm all over the board.
Cat, C-A-T, kitty cat, row. Cat convention?
Are you guys cat people?
I had one once.
No.
Once? No.
I have a
I'm
dog.
Not either.
I'd rather go up high in a building, Julie.
People out there who are,
I'd much rather go up to the top of a building than have a cat. You're the bravest person I know, because honestly, I watched you. You are. I don't know how you did that last week. That was amazing.
It was super fun. And to have a story to share with people, I mean, and it's a great story to go up and see this cute guy who's up there operating all by himself. And I'm thinking, are you lonely? He's like, lonely? He's like, I've got people talking to me nonstop all day. He doesn't have music on. He's not like a surgeon who's at work with his artistry or whatever. He is literally up there just kind of taking commands, and he's focusing. I mean, I think if anything, his day probably goes really fast because he's constantly in demand.
Look at the difference between men and women. Men have a bucket. Women are you lonely?
Right.
We're caring.
Yeah, that's true.
Caring.
Great job.
People say that about me all the time. So
Julie,
caring.
Great to talk to you, and a job well done. It's always fun to watch you on the Channel 9 news. Keep up the great work.
You're so nice. Thanks for tuning in, you guys. Be well.
Absolutely. It's Julie Unruh from Channel 9.
I love her.
The bravest person I know.
For going to the cat convention?
Yeah, because of the cat convention. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news, and then there's a whole lot more.
Blackhawk fans, this is going to be a great season, I'm telling you now. Time to get ready for another season of exciting Chicago Blackhawks hockey. Single game tickets for the team's preseason home games at the United Center went on sale at 10 a.m. So if you're just hearing this, hurry up. If not, then go ahead and do it. The Blackhawks preseason home opener scheduled for Tuesday, September 25th against the Red Wings. Then the Senators on Thursday, September 27th, concluding the preseason on Saturday, September 29th. Against the Blue Jackets. You can get your tickets, as I said, starting at 10 today, so they're currently available. ChicagoBlackhawks.com, ChicagoBlackhawks.com, and save the date. Single game tickets for the Blackhawks regular season home games on sale today, currently happening right now.
I know you have some facts about this building going up. Is it the Vista Tower? Is that the name of the building? All right, so where we are right now, I think it's 3 or 4 buildings east of us. Does that sound about right? Swiss Hotel is here. I think there's another building.
It's east of the Swiss Hotel.
Yeah.
Right?
All right, so Steve, are you around? Can you hear me?
Sure.
All right. Wendy and I have a little side bet going, and I would love for you to give us your input on this.
Here we go. I think their name was Anderson.
Anderson was the last name. All right, here's my question. Julie Unruh from Channel 9 just went up to the top of this thing. It's 71 stories tall. When you're up there, you can't I mean, it's beautiful, but the whole time I'd be up there, I'd be saying to myself, what if a wind comes and blows me down?
A wind.
Or a coworker. What if a coworker just does that? All right. So you saw the same report I saw. It was very hard to watch. It was very dizzying. So Wendy and I, all day long, watched them as they, on a giant crane, they keep bringing building supplies up, right? And it's on like, it's on a wire, and then I don't know how you describe it exactly, but there's like, the wire breaks off into three parts, and then they've put their bundle in there, and they bring it all the way up. So I said to Wendy, I don't think there's a dollar amount that if somebody said to me, hey, get in that thing and then we'll bring you up to the top, we'll bring you up 71 stories and then we'll just bring you back down again. There's no dollar amount. And Wendy said, 10,000 is your asking?
Well, you asked me if I'd do it for 10,000 and I said, probably. I didn't know you meant on the pile of stuff they're bringing up.
No, there would be empty.
And let me just before you go further. Having heard what I've heard,
yes,
I'll put up five if you put up the other five.
Right. You want
okay,
to do
but
all right.
Bill said no way, and
I
then
couldn't do it.
I said, "What about 500,000?" And he said, "Yes." Are you kidding?
I don't know that I could.
100,000, I would do it. I would do it. I'm telling you, it wouldn't be pretty.
Oh.
There would be a trickle of something going down.
Oh.
I would just be hanging on there crying. But for $100,000, you wouldn't do it?
We've never, I don't remember doing a story of having an I-beam or any other thing fall out of one of them, you know? So
we watch it all day. For hours, they bring really heavy stuff up and they bring other stuff down. But I don't think I could physically get on that thing, even if it would cost, let's say they said, yeah, here's a check, $100,000. It takes 8 minutes to go up. It takes 8 minutes. I don't even think it takes that long, right? Does it take 3 minutes or 4 minutes when they lift something up there?
They can't go super fast or it'll start swinging like a pendulum and hit everything
right.
around.
And
so
you'd get the bends, too.
Right.
I would just be face down on the pile. And
not the first time.
Wait, yeah, but I didn't get paid $100,000 for that. But that was free.
But you're the same person that doesn't want to go on Splash Mountain.
Yeah, but for if $100,000, I want a patio pretty badly. I have some debt I could pay off. $100,000?
I would love to say I could accept that money and go, yeah, it's $100,000. I'll never have a day like this again and go all the way to the... I don't think I could do it. I think my body would just not be able to get on that thing.
Now, could we take doctor-prescribed Valium or something?
No.
Or Xanax?
No.
How about street corner Valium?
No. No.
That would cut into my $100,000.
You get one Flintstones chewable and some Yoo-Hoo, and that's it. That's all you get.
All right. Well, when Julie Unruh went up, she said 71 floors. It's going to be 98 stories, almost 1,200 feet when it's done.
Wow.
And here's the interesting thing, and Ryan Burrow pointed, he goes, is that the building with the hole in it? And I said, what? So I Googled it, and Blair Kamen, who is the architect critic, or whatever it is he does in architecture for the Chicago Tribune, wrote a story quite a while ago about this. It's going to be the third tallest skyscraper in Chicago. And there was this big warning. Wind tunnel tests showed that the plan for the building, which is three thin, interconnected high-rises, it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
If you go to their website, Vista Tower, it was designed by star architect Jeannie Gang. It had a flaw. High winds would push it around so much it would make people inside feel like they were on a storm-tossed ship.
Oh, no.
Because three individual towers, pretty thin.
Yeah.
So to prevent this, the developers requested and the city okayed a very unusual change to the already approved plan. The 83rd floor of this 98-story, 1,200-foot East Wacker Drive tower will just be this empty space so the Chicago winds can blow right through the center of the building. Isn't that bizarre?
All right, a couple of questions, and I don't know if you'll know the answers. First among them, how did they decide that it's the 83rd floor that won't exist?
Probably tests. It's called the blow-through floor, and it will help the motion sickness. The building will not sway that much. It wouldn't be the middle. It would be up towards the
right,
top because that's where it's going to pick up the wind.
Yeah.
And maybe if it was above that, it wouldn't be supported enough. I don't know. Their architectures were not.
Here's another question. This one is way dumber than the first question. You know how you get on an elevator with a floor that has like 20 stories and they don't put the 13th floor in because it's bad luck. So when the elevator just goes from 12 to 14,
right.
You know that 14 is really 13. When you go up on the elevator with the Vista Tower, will that floor not exist on an elevator? I mean, will the number just skip one?
Well, my question is, are they going to make it like, they can't make it like a courtyard or a garden because if the winds are going through there,
you'd blow right out of the building.
Yes, you would.
You would. Wow.
Now, this Vista Tower, and go, seriously, go to the website. It's like vistatower.com. Just Google it because it's going to be
beautiful.
So beautiful.
It's not a traditional rectangular building. It's got all kinds
like
of
wavy.
It goes to the left and to the right and to the left.
And originally, that 83rd story was supposed to be a full floor penthouse that would fetch at least $8 million. For the Magellan Development Group of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're doing this blow-through floor, and it's not expected to eat significantly into the developer's profits. Because listen to this. The building, which will stack more than 400 condo units atop 190 hotel rooms, is already more than 35% pre-sold.
Oh, nice. Good.
And I'm trying to think when Blair came and wrote this.
I wonder if other buildings have done this before.
Ago.
Does it say? Is there any precedent for this?
Or
is this the first time it's being tried?
I didn't read the whole article, but we can find out. It just seems really weird to me.
It is weird.
They figured it out.
Huh.
What's going to be there?
Just so we say emptiness, but obviously there's beams in place. It's just
yeah. But that's how they're going to manage the Windy City here in Chi-Town.
The name we never call it.
Right.
All right, I'm in. Let's take a quick break, and then there's more show ahead. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and we were talking about this Vista Tower that's going to come.
The building with a hole in it.
Doesn't that sound absolutely bizarre?
Yeah, I didn't know such a thing existed, and good for the engineers who figured that out, who said this will go a whole lot smoother if we just leave one of the floors empty.
I saw the picture of it in Blair Kamen's article. You can look it up. It kind of looks, there's a guy out there, I'll be honest with you. So I don't know if it's the engineers figuring it out or, like I said, is there going to be, like, would that be a blow dry bar for your hair or something like
that? That's exactly what it'd be. I'm glad they figured it out prior to the building being put up. Because what if the building was up and everybody was getting queasy up toward the top and they go, maybe knocking out a floor isn't in our worst interest.
I got to tell you, that's why we would not be very good architects, because I don't plan ahead very much. You do a little more than me, but you're still not really that much of a plan aheader.
No. When they were first talking about putting buildings up where the Twin Towers were in New York, I want to say it was Brad Pitt who worked with some people on a design that had open floors. In this case, it wasn't for building sway. It was to commemorate where the airplanes had crashed into the original Twin Towers. So they were trying to incorporate that into their design. I'm almost positive it was Brad Pitt. Wasn't Brad Pitt,
Wow. He should stick to movies.
Yeah.
I know where he was going, but in a weird way, that's kind of, I don't know if that's a good commemoration.
I'm not positive it is either. But as you know, now that was one of the designs that has not taken place in that space. So somebody else saw it our way.
And I haven't been to New York. I've been there once, and it was pre-9/11.
Yeah.
And I feel stupid asking this question, but what's there now?
I have not been to the space since 9/11.
Because remember, it was going to be lights that came up.
Right, the light beams.
Yeah, that would look like twin light beams.
Right.
Does any?
I have not been to the space since then. I was there a couple times prior to, but I've not been there since. So I don't know the answer to that.
All right.
I'm sorry.
you don't have to apologize.
No, I'm sorry.
We have the smartest
listeners in
the world.
Yeah, somebody will know. I quickly have to tell you something over the weekend. As you know, Wendy, I play a considerable amount of tennis.
Yes.
And a couple of years ago, I was very fortunate enough to be on a team that won the Illinois State Championship, USTA Tennis. This Saturday, I was in a regional match with the winner going on for the state finals next week in Plainfield. Our team won.
Ooh,
so I
congrats.
Will thank you very much. The only slight rub was there was one guy on the team. When you play USTA tennis, you have first singles, first, second, and third doubles. And everybody won their match except for one guy. There was one guy who did not win the match. And that guy was me. Everybody else.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah. So it was a mixed blessing. I was so thrilled for the team.
I know how much that irks you, too.
It destroyed
me.
the whole weekend was spent going, what if I had done this a little more? As everybody on the team has told me repeatedly over the last couple of days, didn't matter if you were going to pick one to not win. That was the one because everybody else won.
So you told me this whole story this morning in your office and never said that you lost.
I didn't want you to hate me, Steve. I didn't want you to be disappointed in me.
I can't believe you're fessing up to this. I really can't.
It was such a mixed blessing. A guy who was better than me beat me, and that's happened in the past.
Not frequently, though.
It doesn't happen a lot, but it was just so hard because I was so happy for the team. And that's there is no I in tennis, Wendy.
There is.
T-E-N. There's only one I in tennis, Wendy.
So wait, so is your team advancing? Are you going to the finals again?
We will play in Plainfield on Sunday, and if we win that match, if the guy who lost plays a little bit better... then we will
go on. My
heart
hurts for you, Bill.
I know how you hate to lose. But you still advanced, right? We will still advance, and I will still be a member of the team. I'm still.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I keep checking my email.
Have you talked to them?
Right. They very begrudgingly said, yeah, we'll give you one more chance.
Can I ask what major life occurrence is going to happen if you go to the end of the tournament? Because explain what happened last time.
3 years ago, the tournament, and you don't expect to win a state championship. It's just the odds are so far against you. It just so happened that it was the same week that my daughter Reese was starting college. And she very much wanted both my wife and I to be there to help move her in.
Yeah.
And it was the same exact weekend.
So what'd you choose to do?
I drove back and forth between Cincinnati or Dayton, Ohio and Indianapolis. Every day I drove back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Which is completely admirable because we talked about this on the air and it was about 50-50. People were going, Bill, you didn't expect this. This is a huge thing. Other people are like, what kind of a dad are you?
Yes. And I fell into that camp. I was on their side. It was a parent's job when your children are starting college to be there for them. But I thought it was a once in a lifetime thing. It turns out it could be a twice in a lifetime thing if we win this Sunday. So I am waiting. Every time I get a text from one of my daughters or anybody in the family, I go, something's going to happen next week that'll make me decide which is more important. But it was exciting for everybody.
Well, first of all, you are growing. As a man.
Because
A, you admitted you lost and did it openly. You could have just kept this under wraps. No one would know.
Yeah.
I know how much you hate to lose more than anyone I've ever met. And you graciously said someone was better than you.
Yeah, a guy named Brian who really outplayed me.
Well, Peg might have some encouragement for you. Hi, Peg.
Hi, Peg.
How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm fine. I just came home from playing tennis. I feel your pain, Bill. But the important thing that you said is that this guy was better than you.
Yes.
And you know you'd rather be beaten by a guy who's better than you than to beat yourself.
Boy, is that true. Yeah.
That's the worst thing is ever when you lose a match because you screwed it up. But to be beaten by a guy who you're saying is better, hey, that's okay.
I guess so. I think the pain
does pass. You know that.
I had played him during the regular season and beat him, not easily, but beat him by quite a bit.
Wasn't in the cards.
It was not in the cards on Saturday.
Yeah, that's all you can say sometimes.
Yeah.
Peg, our little Billy's growing up.
Growing up before your eyes.
I know. Hey, I will be 71 in November. I am now back to tennis playing 3 times a week, and I just have a whole different outlook.
Oh, I love hearing that.
Still hate to lose as much as you do, but hang in there.
Well, thanks, Peg.
Good luck.
Keep up the good work.
71 playing tennis 3 times a week. God bless
That's
her.
So inspirational.
You should
I love
play her
that.
And let her beat you.
I would. Well, I couldn't let anyone beat me. Dave Bennett's dad is in his 90s, and up until recently, he was playing 2 or 3 times a week. That's fantastic.
That is pretty great.
That's excellent. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news next, and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill and Wendy. Eric Zorn, our friend Eric Zorn, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, will be by in about a half an hour to talk about things.
Preseason Blackhawk tickets went on sale at about an hour ago, a little over an hour ago. And I just want to mention that if you listen to the Steve Cochran show, I was listening today when he gave away some free preseason Blackhawk tickets. He will do that again tomorrow at 7:10. So be listening here on WGN.
It's very generous. Very generous. Wendy, Russia is nervous about the relationship that they have with us, and so they have hired a special representative to deal with U.S.-Russian humanitarian ties.
Dennis Rodman?
No, he's busy. You can't get Dennis Rodman. So who, if you can't get Dennis Rodman, who would the next logical choice be?
Charles Barkley?
To help? No.
I still can't believe Dennis Rodman is doing what he's doing over in North Korea.
Neither can I.
I thought maybe he had some extra time.
Can anyone else on the planet Earth?
Is it a celebrity?
Yes.
Mr. Bean?
No. All of these, your guesses have all been extremely logical, and not only logical, but actually make more sense than the actual person that they have hired. So again, think about what's going on here. It's Russia nervous about the relationship that U.S. and Russia have. So they say, we've got to get somebody to serve as a go-between, somebody that will bring our nations closer together from a humanitarian standpoint.
And I got it.
Who else? Who?
Mikhail Baryshnikov.
No. Actually, that would be a great choice.
He could dance his way into their hearts.
But... Yes, he could.
And spy on them as he was dancing?
Yes.
I have no idea.
How does the name Steven Seagal sound to you?
Disgusting.
Yeah.
What is he... What? He is totally following in Dennis Rodman's footsteps.
I think so, too.
I'm going to get some press.
If Rodman's doing this,
my good
how do I get involved
Lord.
In this? Russia has appointed actor Steven Seagal, and actor is written in a very ironic font. Because I'm not sure. I guess you have to qualify Steven Seagal as an actor. I don't know what
other
word.
He's been in movies.
He's been in movies. Right. Russia has appointed actor Steven Seagal as a special representative on U.S.-Russian humanitarian ties, the country's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said in a statement on its official Facebook page. According to the statement, the actor star's role will be to promote U.S.-Russian relations in a humanitarian sphere.
Does he even know what that means?
I'm not sure he does. Adding that the role will include... I think he thinks he's being hired for a movie about Russian-American diplomatic situations. I don't think he realizes this is real. Although, when was the last time he was in a movie? It's been a while, right? I think it's been a long time. Although, you know what? Do you ever go through a store and as you're like about to get to the checkout aisle, they'll have like a cardboard booth set up with a whole bunch of movies that you go, I know these movies are only $2.88 each, but you couldn't pay me to watch these movies.
Right.
There's always Steven Seagal movies in that cardboard bin, but they're never movies I've heard of. It's like they're paying him to make movies that no one will ever see.
Was he in Under Siege?
Yes.
That was a pretty good movie.
That one actually...
Honestly.
If you have to see one Steven Seagal movie,
I think
that would be the one. And I think you get... Don't you get Steven Seagal and Gary Busey in that same movie? I think Gary Busey's
in
that, too.
I saw it so long ago, but it was like I was kind of surprised. I'm not saying he's a great actor, but it was an entertaining movie.
Right. There's one movie he was in... Now, the plot I'm about to describe to you holds true for almost all of his movies, but I'll get to the very specific part. Some bad guys rough him up in the beginning. He's got some bad guys don't like him, and he doesn't like some bad guys. So they get into a tussle, him and some guys. And he's in a coma for years. They go, well, he's not going to live, so they put him in a hospital. And he just lays in bed for years and years and years. And then at some point, he comes out of the coma.
That was his best acting, by the way.
By far. Magically, as he emerges from the coma, he's not only tan, but he's in great shape. Now, I don't think you can get a tan when you're in a coma, and I know for a fact you can't work out when you're in a coma, but Steven Seagal looks better like 3 years later when he comes out of the coma than when he first went into the coma. Maybe that's what Russia saw that went, we got to get this guy. This guy can do anything.
There's just so many. Just listen to his name or his movies. Flight of Fury, Urban Justice, Pistol Whipped.
Pistol Whipped sounds like a good movie.
A Dangerous Man, The Keeper, Born to Raise Hell.
Have you ever heard of any of these?
No.
So these are all in the last 5 or 10 years, right?
Those were like 2007s.
Oh,
and
right.
True Justice TV series, I don't remember that.
That's the one where they actually deputized him to be a police officer.
Oh.
So he was allowed to stop people. And the whole premise of the show was that people were amazed that Steven Seagal was pulling them over. That was the whole show. And then he would just sneer at them, no matter what they did. He would just make that Steven Seagal face.
Code of Honor, The Perfect Weapon, The Asian Connection, Mercenary Absolution.
Wow. Imagine being in that many movies that no one's ever heard of.
No, Above the Law 2.
Yeah.
Above the Law was not even that bad of a movie either.
Above the Law might be the one where he was in a coma, maybe.
That was a decent movie, too. Again, I'm not saying he's a great actor.
Was he in another coma in the second one? Is that possible? Because he said to somebody, I need to be more tan and more buff. What do I do? Well, remember the coma you were in last time? It worked.
Well, he had people moving his limbs so he didn't get bed sores.
I guess so.
And they put a little weight on him, you know, like lifting weights, not...
It's also, with all due respect to the great Steven Seagal, it's the worst dye job in history.
Oh, he's got something going on right now.
His hair is so jet black. It's
but he has more hair than
he ever had before. Yeah,
yeah. You can't see this picture. You'd have to walk over. But it's way more hair than he had before. It's really dark.
So dark.
He's got a goatee now. And he has tweeted, I am deeply humbled and honored, spelled the British way, of course.
H-O-N-O-U-R-E-D.
Yeah. To have been appointed as a special representative of the Russian Foreign Ministry in charge of Russian and American humanitarian ties. I hope we can strive for peace, harmony, and positive results in the world. I take this honor very seriously. Again, spelled the British way. Is he British?
No. No.
Well, congratulations.
So he joins Russia in their goal to make... I was nervous about the relationship we had with Russia, but now I'm not anymore. If I know Steven Seagal's behind things, I'm sure things will work out great.
Do you think maybe Vladimir Putin, this is his favorite actor? And that's why he wanted to have it happen?
Yeah.
We have to make up some title so we can get him over
here.
We
want him.
I want autograph.
I know he was jealous of the Rodman situation. Putin was watching the Rodman situation going, we got to get somebody with that caliber.
Yeah.
Who?
That's it.
We got to do it.
Good call.
We'll take a quick break and then there's more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
How old are we?
I'm 11. How old are you?
I'm 12. I am older than you.
You are older than me. Sad news about Charlotte Ray.
Yeah.
Facts of life.
I got to be honest with you.
That was sad.
Hate to say this.
You're going
to
say, you've said this when other celebrities have died, and I'm always disappointed in you when you share this news, but go on.
I didn't know she was still around.
Yeah.
92, God bless her.
She
you take the good, you take the bad.
Keep going.
I don't know the rest.
Anymore. She showed up on, I think it's Nickelodeon who does this thing about once a year where they honor shows from the past. So a couple members of the Facts of Life kids team was there. I say kids, and now they're all in their 40s, I guess. Wouldn't they be?
At least.
If not older.
Yeah.
But Charlotte Ray showed up to that, and she had announced a year ago that she was pretty sick with bone cancer.
Oh.
But she was never a tall woman, but at this thing, you know, they had kind of a gathering of the other members of the cast that was there and her. And she was about half the size of the other girls that were there.
She was pretty short.
Yeah.
And they hit puberty and stuff,
yeah.
So they got taller.
Yeah.
She was pretty funny. She was from that time of actors where they kind of overacted a little bit.
Right.
But really had good comedic timing. She was pretty funny.
Oh, she did. And she had been on shows. I mean, everybody knows her from Facts of Life and Different Strokes originally. But she was on shows back in the 50s,
yeah.
Late 50s and early 60s. She'd show up on stuff. Car 54, Where Are You?
Yes.
Did you ever see that?
Yes.
She was Al Lewis's wife on there. She's very funny on there.
Grandpa Munster.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to tell you, and I feel embarrassed about this, too. Not only did I think she was already no longer with us.
Yes.
I didn't realize that Facts of Life was a spinoff from Different Strokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's the connection?
Her. She was the housekeeper. Mrs. Garrett
for the Drummonds?
Was the housekeeper for the Drummonds on Different Strokes.
Really?
And somebody said, she's too good. We got to spin her off. We got to give her own show. And then, all right, here's something nobody seems to know but me. So let me share this with you.
This is not an uncommon occurrence,
right.
By the way.
I don't know why I know this, but I know this. When the show first started, when Facts of Life started, the spinoff show, so she goes and, was it Eastland? Was that the name of the school that she was house mother at?
How do you not know that? Why are you looking at me for that?
I'm pretty sure it was Eastland. They had a larger cast. Instead of just having four major girls, I think they had either six or seven. One of them went on to be a major Hollywood movie star. Which one would it be? Who would it be?
I know George Clooney was on that show.
Clooney was on, was he on that?
I think so.
He may have shown up on that. That sounds about right.
All of a sudden, my trivial doesn't matter.
Yours is
my
good.
Trivial information.
That's good, too.
Facts of life.
So only for the first year, instead of having the core four, your strong four, your Natalie, your Joe,
Heather Graham.
Judy. No, it's not Heather Graham.
She wasn't even born then.
I don't know that she was born quite yet.
I'm trying to just look it up to see if it was Eastland, because you asked me.
I think it was Eastland.
Like I do remember this, but I can't place the face right now. But I do, I will go, oh yeah, I knew that. Or I'll be honest and say I had no idea.
Should I tell you?
You want to give me a hint?
What could a hint be? Okay, she was one of the Brat Packers.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
No. Mm-mm. Only for the first season.
Jennifer Aniston.
And she was not famous yet. No, Jennifer Aniston is not a Brat.
I don't even know who a Brat Packer is. Ally Sheedy.
No, she's a Brat Packer, but it was not Ally Sheedy.
Molly Ringwald.
It was Molly Ringwald.
I swear to God, I did know that.
It was Molly Ringwald.
You could have gone out with her.
Very.
I know that trivial information.
Here's where I'm blushing. I could have.
See, you're a smart man, because she could have said no, or you could have ended up getting married, and no one knows what would have happened. But I like this way, because you can just leave it hanging there.
This ended... Can I tell the story very, very quickly?
Yeah, we got all day.
All right, so I was managing a video store in Downers Grove. Molly Ringwald was just becoming famous. Nobody really knew who she was. And she was in town doing a John Hughes movie. And the guy
Pretty in
who,
Pink?
No.
Okay.
I think it was the one before Pretty in Pink.
Breakfast Club?
It might have been Breakfast Club. Yeah, that sounds right.
That's like the best movie
Breakfast
ever.
Breakfast Club came before Pretty in Pink, right?
I'm pretty sure.
The year before, 2 years before. All right, so Molly Ringwald had just done a movie with John Cassavetes, but nobody knew who she was yet.
Except you. And
Except
she
me.
Was on Facts of Life.
Except me, right, right. So the guy who served, when you make a movie, it, by law, you have to have a physician there in case something goes wrong. You have to have somebody from the medical community there.
Really? I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
it's a law.
A doctor on the set?
Yeah, doctor on the set. Thank you, Wendy. So then this particular doctor would come into my video store all the time, and he would tell me about movies he was working on, and he was telling me about this John Hughes movie he was working on, and he goes, there's this girl who's in the cast that nobody knows who she is. And I go, what's her name? And he mentioned Molly. And I go, I know who she is. And I went through a couple of things. I said, she was just in...
You went through a... I went through a couple of things, like I jumped for
emotionally,
joy.
I went through a couple emotional outbursts.
I laughed hysterically.
I was
then
sad.
I cried.
I was confused. I started reaching for...
Then he said, moonwalked.
Yeah. He goes, what's wrong with you? I go, that's what Molly Ringwald does to me. I just go through every emotion. I said, I just saw her in The Tempest a few weeks ago. I thought she was great. And you know what a big Facts of Life fan I am. So he said, oh, Bill, he goes, you know, when the day is done, all she does, she goes back to her hotel room. She doesn't hang out with the other people in the cast. She's very lonely. I go, oh, well, tell her to call me. And we all had a good hearty chuckle. Call the guy who just went through every emotion. So he comes back 3 days later, and he hands me a number, a phone number, and I go, who's this? And he goes, that's Molly Ringwald's number. I told her about you, said that you manage a video store, that you'd seen her movie.
And
you...
perfect pair. I'm in movies.
I said, he rents movies. I said, did you tell her I'm ambidextrous? He goes, absolutely, I mentioned you're ambidextrous.
Skipped kindergarten?
Yeah, did you tell her that? Yeah, so she was all excited, and I had the number in my wallet for about...
Is it still... I bet it's still
there.
In your
you
wallet.
You want to see it? Call her on the air. See what she's up to.
Whose number did you just get recently?
Dennis Savard.
Is it next to his in your wallet?
It's right behind Dennis Savard's number in my wallet. Why do you make fun? This
Have
is
you
a
called
big,
Dennis Savard yet?
Yeah, we're going out for drinks on Saturday.
No, you're not.
Yeah, we're going to
play
tennis.
Tennis.
Yeah, Dennis Savard and I are playing tennis.
Did you tell him you lost it?
No. He doesn't need to, does he need to know that? That's in-house.
But I can't believe you didn't even just call to say, listen, I just want to say I'm a big fan. You probably would have screwed it up and said you're a big fan.
You're a big fan of mine, Molly Ringwald. No, on three different occasions, I had, remember when you were a kid and you would like have the phone out and you go, I don't know if this is a good idea, like that.
Right.
I did on three different occasions. I had the number in my hand and I started dialing the number and went, she's going to be really rich and famous. I don't know if this is
but
good.
But you could have just said, I want to, you know, I don't know if you know people here. You're here for a while. I can show you around.
Yeah.
I manage a video store.
Yeah, I manage a video store in Downers Grove. What do you got going, toots? Should have said that. That would have won
her
over.
That would have worked for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows what
could have happened? Huh?
I'm just glad you're here stuck with
me. Yeah, me too.
Isn't that better?
Yeah, way better. Right? Yeah. It is. All right. Well,
but can I just say, yes. I do remember her being on Facts of Life because she had this cute little haircut.
Yeah.
And she seemed much younger than the other girls.
She was. She was, yeah. She
so
was
it was almost like a little pixie haircut. I totally remember her.
She looked
like
Annie back then.
She did, yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's all. Right. That's I did it. Remember. I want right. some credit.
You win. All right. We'll take a quick break, some news, and then Eric Zorn joins us. Stick around, Bill and Wendy at WGN.
Zorn, Zorn, Zorn. The greatest father in all the land. Zorn, Zorn, Zorn. We sing the praises of Zorn.
Hey, Zorn.
Yeah. Hey. Hi, Eric. How are you?
I don't hear you singing.
I wasn't singing this time. It's Wendy's week to sing. Ooh, we've been changing off.
Alternating. Okay.
Several things to talk to you about. Let's start out with the Donald Trump story that you were telling me off air. I love this.
Well, you know, over the weekend, he got into a little Twitter spat with Don
LeBron
Lemon
CNN
and LeBron James. He said that Don Lemon, you know, who he's called the stupidest guy on TV, made LeBron James look smart, which wasn't easy, you know.
A backhanded compliment at its best.
Well, not even that. I mean, it was a real insult to LeBron James. And then, you know, people have been noticing how he's been calling Maxine Waters, the African-American congresswoman, very low IQ. Refers to her that way a lot. So she's got low IQ. So it started coming up. People were saying, well, Donald Trump's a racist because when he focuses on intelligence, he focuses only, you know, he focuses mostly on black people and not on women. And so I went to the New York Times has this fascinating database where they've categorized, it's like 200 pages long, of all the people he's insulted, all the people and things that he has insulted on Twitter since 2015. And I actually went through and counted all the people he's referred to as dumb or dummy or low IQ or a dope. I counted all those people. And I just wanted to see, like, is there any pattern to this? Is there, like, is it mostly black people? Is it mostly women?
It's everyone, isn't it?
It is everyone, but it's mostly white men, actually. 38 out of the 43 people, well, 44 now. I would say 44 because I didn't count LeBron in this. LeBron doesn't show up in this database. So 38 out of 44 are white, and 31 out of 44 are men. So
sure, he's jealous. He wants to rise above them.
Well, I mean, I'll just give you some samples here. Joe Biden, not very bright. David Brooks, who's the columnist in the New York Times, actually somewhat conservative, one of the dumbest of all the pundits. James Comey, stupid. Mark Cuban, not smart enough to run for president. Robert De Niro, very low IQ individual. Lindsey Graham, Republican senator, dumb mouthpiece. John Kasich, Ohio governor, dummy. Charles Krauthammer, if you remember Charles Krauthammer,
the late
Charles Krauthammer, who was very bright. He was a psychiatrist.
Yeah,
I think Harvard educated. He calls him a dope.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Kristol, the editor of the Weekly Standard, which is a conservative publication, dummy, dopey, even dumber, and so on. It just goes on and on. I collected all these. Mitt Romney, one of the dumbest and worst candidates in the history of Republican politics, and he goes on and on about Karl Rove.
Do you know, can I just interrupt you for a minute? People who say they're not very smart doubt their own ability. That's the only thing I can say.
Well, the thing about this that interests me is that when you read this list, it just goes on and on and on, the people he attacks and the way he attacks them, you realize that Donald Trump may or may not be a racist or a sexist, but he's just a child. I mean, these are like third grade taunts.
Yeah.
They really are. And the thing is that some of the people who he's taunting about their intelligence, George Will is another one. I mean, you know, George Will uses all the words that nobody understands. I mean, George Will is, you know, say what you will about George Will.
Pretty intelligent man.
He is erudite. And,
yeah.
And Krauthammer and Bill Kristol, a lot of these people I've named are very, very smart people, you know, academically. And to go on.
But they don't have the best words. Donald Trump has explained to us that he has the best words.
Someone said that his verbal style is like a third grader. It's just the words he uses and the way he expresses himself. But the thing is that you read this and you realize that this is just immature is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
He, every time anyone criticizes him, he lashes back and he tries to go right for the most personal you know, thing, like, you know, you're, and it's something that you could test. And this is where I'm getting with this is I believe that, I mean, at one point he challenged Rex Tillerson to an IQ test. Remember this? Tillerson, the former Secretary of State, famously, allegedly referred to him as a moron.
Mm-hmm.
And when Trump heard about this, he said, well, I'll take him to an IQ test. So I know who's going to win.
And nobody took him up on that.
Yeah, why didn't that happen?
I thought that would be a terrific thing, and I think that someone like Maxine Waters ought to take him up on that, or any of these people whose intelligence he's questioned. They ought to say, well, look, you're not that busy, man. You're playing golf three times a week. You certainly seem to have enough time to watch cable TV all the time. Let's take an hour out, or however long it takes to take an IQ test, and let's just see who wins. Let's see how you do. I think that would be great, and you could actually measure it. It'd be like someone saying, you know, I can jump higher than you can. Well, let's test. This would be something we can test.
Get the tape measure.
Test this thing out. So, that you know, I don't think he would go for it, but it's just one of those things where when you read this list of the and the way he attacks people, they're crazy.
Sure.
You know, what did he say about Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Her mind is shot. He just wanted this. I mean, this is the president of the United States, and he just acts like this. He acts like a child. So.
Let me ask you about something he said over the weekend. He was at a rally in Ohio, and he was explaining that he has the ability to destroy careers of Republicans that don't get along with him. That if you disagree with him, if you're a Republican that does not agree with him, he can and will destroy your career. Now, this is something that he says. He says so much of this sort of thing that, look, the two of you didn't even hear about this. What if Barack Obama had said that? What if he said,
well, he
let me tell you
have.
Something about me. I could destroy Democrats. If they don't agree with me, I will destroy their career.
The thing is,
that would be in the front page of every newspaper in America.
Oh, totally. But the thing about what he says is it's kind of true these days. Like Mark Sanford, who was the congressman from South Carolina, mm-hmm. the Appalachian Trail guy, mm-hmm. who was doing fine until Trump turned on him and endorsed his opponent in the primary, and Sanford went down to defeat. And I think Trump is like 9 out of 10 or something like that in Republican primaries, where he's picked a Republican candidate in the primary and gotten behind that candidate. He's 9 out of 10. And senators like Ben Sasse, who from Nebraska, I think. I'm trying to remember. I think that's right. Who criticized Trump, realize they can't even run for re-election. I mean, it's like they're done.
It ends them.
It ends them right there. So he does have that. He's right when he says that. He's right. And I think a lot of the Republicans know that, which explains the odd response of the party to all this stuff that he's doing.
Here's what he said in Ohio. I only destroy their career because they say bad things about me, and you fight back, and then they go down the tubes, and that's okay. That seems like a good way to do business.
That's hardball politics for you right there. Seriously, if you've got to get your base behind you, you've got to get your party behind you.
Yeah.
And he's certainly done that. His approval rating among Republicans is strikingly high. I mean, in the polls, somewhere around 91%, which is, I think, he says it's higher than anyone since Lincoln. Now, of course, they weren't like the polls like that or in Lincoln's time.
Right.
He likes to say he's the best, greatest president other than maybe Lincoln.
Yeah.
So that's him for you.
Yep. Very similar. All right. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then discuss more with Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. If you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200 is the way to do it. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Were you just doing something off the new album?
Yep.
I heard you do one of the new songs off the album.
It's a cover album.
It's beautiful.
I'm also doing, you know, another song on it.
What?
Hudson 327.
Oh, you're doing that one? People love that stuff. Eric Zorn
Empire,
is here.
What's the Empire?
2-300 Empire. All the
this
hits.
It's going to be a great album.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
People have been waiting for it.
Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, I don't know if you have a problem with pigeons or the problem is more with the people who feed pigeons, but you definitely have a problem.
I've got a problem, Bill. My L stop is the Irving Park Blue Line stop, and it is a disgusting L stop generally for the pigeons. It's under the Kennedy Viaduct. I'm not saying it's the worst in the city by any means. I'm sure that there are other really bad ones. But essentially what happens is, you know, because you've got the rafters up there underneath the road, you know, on the viaducts,
yes.
the places for pigeons to roost.
Yes.
And so they have to power wash to get the pigeon poop out of there and the feathers, and it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
And what the other night, my state rep, who's Jaime Andrade, who is the from our district up there, Democrat, was doing a late night Facebook Live video, and he was going to inspect the handiwork of the power washers. And he's there at like, I think it was like 1:30 in the morning, something like that. Yeah. And all of a sudden, this SUV pulls up, and this woman gets out with a 10-pound bag of rice and starts strewing it on the sidewalk. And apparently, this happens like just about every night. This woman She seems to be the same woman who was involved in a news story a few years ago. She attacked Alderman Kappelman because Alderman Kappelman was trying to sweep her.
I remember
her
stuff.
Remember this? Yeah,
yeah.
And this is apparently the same woman. I watched the video. She looks a lot like her. I'm not, you know, since no, I can't do 100% ID. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say her name, but seems to be the same woman. And Neil Steinberg at the Sun Times did a profile of that woman, and she just goes around from L stop to L stop, strewing rice.
Right.
And I guess rice is not bad for birds. I think this is an urban legend. Hmm. You know, brides are not, you don't throw rice because the birds explodes in their
right.
stomach.
Right. So they switch to bird seed.
They switch to bird seed, but apparently this is not true. But but maybe let's not say that because right. you know it's going to be the blood will be on this radio station's right. hands with dead birds everywhere. But so this woman goes around every night and strews the rice. And so the state rep, Andrade, goes over to her and says, you know, hey, please stop this. Please, I beg you, stop doing this. This is, look what's going on. Look what happens. Look what, you're attracting these birds. And she just cusses them out.
Really?
Just, it's like, get out of here. These are God's creatures. And I can't even begin to repeat what she was saying to him.
Yeah.
And you look, he like is filming and he films in the back of her SUV and it's like got tubs of ostensibly rice there. And she's going to go from, you know, stop to stop, underpass to underpass, throwing rice to the ground. And of course, the problem is that these birds are filthy.
Sure.
And I mean, there's one side of that L stop. I don't even use it. It's the most convenient exit for me, but I don't use it because the birds are just everywhere, and the sidewalk is gross, and you just worry that they're gonna poop on you. But it turns out that there's a $500 fine, $600 fine. The sign says $500, but it's I think actually now $600 for feeding pigeons.
Really?
Yeah, in the city, which makes total sense because these are flying rats, basically. And when you feed them, like if you encourage the population, they're already drawn to this underpass. So when you feed them, they keep coming back, and it's a health hazard. Their droppings are dirty.
Pigeon condoms, Eric? Where do you stand on pigeon condoms?
I think they should try birth control.
They should, shouldn't they?
But probably the pill.
I thought you meant condominiums, because then they'd be off the streets.
That's also a good idea. What about both?
Well, the thing about this is that, you know, you don't want to have to shoot them or anything. But the thing is, if you don't feed them,
then you
also restrict their roosting ability through netting and so on, you can naturally diminish the population, which is the same way that they try to control things like deer and so on. They try to restrict them from places where they can eat a lot and. It encourages them to reproduce because they respond to the natural environment.
I don't know if we have this here, but I see this a lot on the West Coast. Anytime I'm in California, I see this a lot. A lot of places where birds tend to congregate, they have figured out ways. They have this thing. It's like a rudder. It's made. I don't know what it's made out of, but on signs and stuff, it keeps circulating to keep birds off of it.
Keep them from perching
and spending any amount of time.
Right.
Is that something we even have here, or is that just a California thing?
I haven't seen that here. I mean, there are certain. I mean, and people resort to all kinds of awful things to get rid of birds. There's this goop you can put down, and if the birds land on it, it like sticks to their feet, and it makes
that's
it really
terrible.
It burns their feet, and you know, I mean, that's almost like torturing them.
Yeah.
And it seems like you can use natural methods, like not feeding them, and that
or feed them in a park where it's away from things.
They don't really need to be fed. I mean, they're pretty natural scavengers. Like you wouldn't want to put food out for the raccoons in your neighborhood. We have some raccoons in our neighborhood.
Right. Some people do.
I know, but that's bad.
I know.
They should be punished.
So was this lady given any kind of a $600 fine for doing this? Or
she
not?
Sped off before the cops got there. The state rep was telling people who were watching his live video to call the police.
Was he?
Yes.
Well, he must have got a license plate number or something.
They
right?
did. Yeah, yeah, they did. It did not trace back to her. It traced back to a male companion of hers who was driving the vehicle. So I'm not sure what they're going to do, but it seems like they ought to stake it out. I mean, my feeling is that you really need to discourage this kind of stuff, and they need to crack down with his fines. I mean, I think that if you were to stake out someone like that, you know who this person is. You know, probably know where she lives. Put a tail on her some night, stop her, fine her a couple times.
Yeah.
She'd stop. She'd have to stop.
You would hope.
And I don't think that there are hundreds of people doing this or even dozens of people doing it, but there are people out there who feel like, well, they could just, oh, they're birds. They're pretty birds.
Right, sure.
The birds will be fine without you. It's like feeding the gulls or feeding. You just don't want to do that.
Right.
So
let's talk about Patty Blagojevich and her refusal to do anything on our station.
This was news to me the other day. I was talking to John on our Mincing Rascals podcast, and
John Williams,
and he was saying the afternoon host here on WGN, and yeah. He was telling me that they've been trying to get Patty Blagojevich to come on the air to talk about why she wants Donald Trump to commute the sentence of her husband, yeah. Rod Blagojevich, the former governor who's in federal prison. And she won't come on the air, she said, because I'm on the station.
Because of you.
Well, because of me. Then let's get rid of Eric, because I'd love to talk to Patty. You know,
Eric, this is your last day.
I just want to say, it's been really fun being here. But who's out there?
John Williams is out there.
Yes, John.
But I'd rather have Patty Blagojevich, because she and I have the same mouth.
Oh,
honestly,
yeah.
I felt sorry for her when those tapes came out, because, you know, she didn't know she was being recorded, and sometimes I swear like a sailor.
Sometimes. John Williams joining us in studio. John, what happened? You spoke to her directly or through your email or what?
We've been texting back and forth on, I think, Facebook.
Yeah. And you wanted to have her on as a guest, as Eric said.
It'd be bad enough. It's bad enough that Eric is doing what he does. And then he talked about it on the Mincing Rascals. And now he's like tripling down on your show.
Oh.
So really, I have no hope now of ever scoring a guest we've been trying to cultivate for over half a year.
But I think that if you make it clear that I do not speak for John Williams or the station.
It's just personal thoughts.
Or Bill. I do speak for Wendy.
You
but
do
not
speak
Bill.
No, you don't. Because you totally don't. Because he got way too much time in jail, and I have been completely 100%, and I thought you agreed with me on
I think his sentence if he had just said I did it, I'm sorry, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yes, he's been in prison way too long for that. But the fact that he won't apologize, and now his wife's going on TV and lying about
it. What do you guys make about that strategy, by the way? Playing Fox, you know, you go on Fox TV, the president watches Fox TV, talk to the president, and get the sentence commuted.
Brilliant.
It is brilliant. She's trying to get the job done. That's the place to do it.
Okay, but I'm trying to, but here's my pitch to her.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if just, instead of Patty talking to the president, 1,000 Chicagoans started tweeting at the president or whatever, saying, hey, you got to let Rod out early.
Yeah.
And the way to get 1,000 Chicagoans isn't to go on Fox TV, but to go on the big time radio station in Chicago.
Yeah, or WGN.
And if you can't get them, then come on our station,
right?
On my show. And the funny thing is, I like you think he went to jail too long.
Absolutely.
I'm no great fan of the Blagojeviches. I'm just saying, if you just ask me about that one single issue. Plus, I think she'd be a fascinating interview. So that's what I'm trying to score here. And I'm walking down the halls here today, and guess who's on the radio, but killing my chances.
Who brought that? How do I know this? I know this because John brought it up on the Mincing Rascals, because he's mentioned this.
Did you try
times.
To convince her, though, John? Did you go, look, Eric's opinions of whether they're right or wrong, come on out and share your opinion.
I think she's really hurt, and I'm not being sarcastic here.
What'd you do to her?
Nothing in private. I mean, everything I've written, I've written in public.
You said she should have gone to jail, too.
Oh, she's, no way.
She was fun. According to the prosecutor, she was getting paid $12,000 a month to do no work at all by Tony Resco. And funneling that money into the Blagojevich family bank account.
Boy, there's a name you haven't heard in a while.
Tony Resco. Yeah.
But, you know, bygones, okay?
I don't know, though.
But come on, let's not, I mean, and she's saying that her husband is just in jail for fundraising and just normal fun. No, you know, he did some bad things. And if he just said, look, I'm sorry, I did this, you know, I apologize.
He did the same thing a lot of other people have done.
No, you and Patty should go out.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I know.
So as I leave, can I just throw a plea out to Patty if you're listening.
Absolutely, John.
Don't come on Bill and Wendy's show.
Right.
I go back with her.
Eric doesn't have a show. Eric does not have a show.
I do not. I'm not paid by the same. I'm fine. This is Eric, easy.
Here's more bad news. Pigeons were supposed to be a guest on Steve Wintrust's Wintrust business lunch. They've canceled.
Lock
they're not going to do it.
Up.
Yes. Guys, thank you both for being here. It's Eric Zorn. It's John Williams. John's on in a little bit. We'll see you in a week.
Yes, I'll be
here.
Oh, Patty Blagojevich just called. She's going to be on our show.
She is not. She so is not.
I bet you. Now the challenge is on.
Yeah, it's all on. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll say goodbye and find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill, and it's Wendy on WGN.